Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday. Friday, the 25th day of January, year of our Lord, 2019. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Pepper tip of the day. This is a brand new pepper tip of the day, and I've recently discovered I need to be doing this quite a bit more frequently. There are multiple ways to listen to my radio show, both live and archived. Listen carefully, live and archives. If you go to my website at thelibertyman.com, there's a banner at the top there where it says Home, John's Bio Services Products, and then Radio. Well, when you put the little cursor there, it says General Information Page. Then live 8 through 10 Central Time, Monday, every weekday. My latest published YouTube video. Below that, RBN Archives, and then Brighteon Archives. So I'm going to go to General Information Page. And here we go. How to listen live. Now, it looks like there's 6 different ways. Listen to that. 6 different ways to listen to my show live. I'm not going to go through all of them and bore you here, but 6 different ways to listen to my show live. Now, Internet streams are down below that. There's a couple of internet streams. And then, of course, the archives. We have RBN archives. We have my YouTube archives. And we have the Brighteon archives. All the details are at my website at thelibertyman.com. So I'm going to be repeating this more frequently, because I found out yesterday talking to a regular listener, he simply did not know how to listen live. And if there's one guy, there's probably 1,000. We have a worldwide audience. We have patient waiting agreement, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to become very knowledgeable, eventually make a career related to these matters, very knowledgeable of emergency radio communications, ham radio communications, two-way radio communications in general, and we are going to talk about emergency survival communications. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Good morning, Tom. I'm not hearing anything. Tom, if you're on mute, take it off mute.
No, I'm here, John. Do you copy?
Okay. Now I copy. Roger that. Okay, Tom, the modern age, you and I are old enough to remember when when a radio show is broadcast, you either listen to it live or you personally tape record it to listen to it or have somebody else listen to it. That wasn't so long ago, was it?
No. In fact, some of that is still done to this very day, but things have changed quite a bit, John, with your various ways to listen.
It is. It's breathtaking. Now, youngsters growing up, people in their 20s, this is all they've ever known, is instant access to whatever it is they want to see, despite not being able to watch it or listen to it live. They take it for granted because that's simply the way things are. Just like we expect to sit down in an automobile and put a and either push a button or turn a key and it starts with an electric motor. That's just an expectation. So youngsters live in this world. It's not the world we grew up in. So they take it for granted. I don't take it for granted at all. I think it's marvelous, don't you, sir?
Oh, I agree, John. Yeah, same here.
Now, the these 911 centers, they record everything that's said, both for telephone calls and for dispatch. Those records are maintained, and they can be subpoenaed, of course, and I've subpoenaed these records myself for various matters I've worked on. But these 911 call centers is another wonder of the modern age compared to the old days. I recall my mother had when I was in high school, my mother had a medical emergency, and I had to dial the authorities. This ambulance showed up, which was basically a station wagon painted red, is what it was, and they took her off for emergency care. We had a complete working infrastructure 50 years ago without all the modern things we've got now, didn't we, Tom?
Yes, we did, and got the job done. I don't know if it's better today or not, but it's certainly more complex.
It is, and that complexity means two things. First of all, when it works, and it works perfectly, it's marvelous. There's nothing to beat it. On the other hand, and I'll use a good example here, it's easier to turn off the lights in Los Angeles with 20 million people now than it was a century ago, before there was a power grid. To turn off the lights a century ago in Los Angeles would have meant going to every household and taking their oil lamps and their candles. Each individual house had to be visited and those lighting devices confiscated. Now, it can be done from China by a few strokes on a keypad. Can it, Tom?
That's exactly right, John. And you mentioned these 911 centers. Sometimes things go wrong. I remember in the county I live in, maybe a year or two ago, they had some sort of a glitch, and they have it set up. It will call every telephone in the county and ring the phone, I think even including cell phones, and alert you that there's some sort of an emergency. And they had a test routine that got out of hand at 2 or 2:30 in the morning. Every single telephone in the county was being called with this test signal. And, boy, that made the front page of the local paper, and people were really irate about that. And they couldn't stop it. It just kept doing it for about a half hour, and it just drove everybody crazy. So sometimes things go wrong with these complex systems. I've visited the 911 center in my county. A friend of mine is on the board, and he told me he'd give me a personal tour of the full system, and it was very, very complex for a county that's rural with only 15,000 population for the whole county. That was quite a sophisticated system.
Right, right. Well, my county's the same way. In fact, they just got some major upgrades to their system in Crawford County. And there's been some federal funding to help, because these outlying counties don't have excess funds to be doing these kinds of things. And it's good. I'm glad to see those things are happening. And I'm part of that myself. I attend the chief's meetings once a month. And I know the director of the 911 center pretty well. I have a monthly meeting with him also in a separate organization I belong to. So it's a good thing on one hand. On the other, complexity leads to, in my opinion, vulnerability. What do you think, sir?
Well, I agree, John, because the system I saw there when I visited was, in some cases, I think, overly complex. It was very, very nicely done. I have to say that. The dispatch center, I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful the way they had it set up, but the complexity level was very high. But they also have to be able to interoperate and connect with other counties and other systems. So it's just the way it is nowadays, I suppose. In the old days, you took care of your own backyard and those around you, but now they want to interconnect to the state agencies and everything else. And I think that's where it gets overly complex. And when they have problems, it becomes a big deal. And
right.
Like that, yeah. So it's... And it
well,
happen,
something.
We all
one of my pet projects. There's two jurisdictions locally that I'm very close to. Two jurisdictions, and in both cases, they did upgrades to their equipment, a complete change out, where they built a new facility, have completely new equipment, and the old equipment, in one case, is plugged in and used basically to monitor. What's going on in a police department, which basically nobody pays attention to it. And the other one's been put in cardboard boxes and not properly protected from EMP. In both cases, in the one case, I've encouraged the authorities to unplug the unused equipment that's used to monitor what's going on and put it in Faraday cages. In the other case, I'm encouraging the authorities to take the previous equipment and properly store it in Faraday cages so that if and when it's ever needed because of an EMP, it can be taken out of storage, know it's going to work, and the technicians that know how to do this can get it up and running probably within 24 hours or less, as opposed to being out of service for an unknown period of time. What do you think, sir?
Well, I agree, John. And sometimes everything nowadays, the center where I went to, the 911 center, everything, I didn't see a lot of paper. Everything was stored on computer, backed up on various hard drives and so on, maybe solid-state drives, I don't know. But I didn't see a lot of paper. And if any of that stuff fails because of an EMP, it's gone.
It's gone. Well, I'm not, loss of records is minor compared to loss of communications. We got a call on hold here, Tom. We got Lonnie in Idaho. Good morning, Lonnie.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I got anyway 40 to 100 foot trees all around my place, and I was wondering about an antenna to get out on shortwave, or what do you suggest?
Well, Lonnie, on shortwave, surrounded by trees.
Tom, break it down to listening and transmitting, because it's going to be different in both cases. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think most people would be interested in listening, because when you are operating radio equipment, you end up receiving most of the time. You'll spend maybe 90% of your time listening, and then you may, if you're engaged in a conversation, then it's maybe 50%. But your receiver is the most important part, just the reception. And on shortwave, Lonnie, the signals come in bouncing off the ionosphere, so they go up very, very high to the ionosphere and bounce back down the ground. I would not worry about the trees that much. And the type of antenna I would put up, if you're just interested in shortwave reception, I just put up a long wire antenna, just a wire strung out to a tree, maybe at least 20 or 25 feet off the ground if you can. use a slingshot or a bow and arrow to shoot a line up over a tree and use that some fishing line and use that line to pull that wire way up in the tree and even slant down at an angle, not critical, and connect the other end of that wire to a receiver. Now that wire can be as short as 25 feet long, maybe 50 or 100 feet long. And then you have to have a way to disconnect it from the receiver and ground it in the event of a lightning storm. You don't want that connected to any equipment if there's any lightning, because it will pick up the high voltage from those lightning strikes and damage the equipment it's connected to. So it's relatively simple to do, and that will work great for short wave. Where the problems come in is if you're operating on the higher frequencies, VHF, UHF, police scanners. You want to listen to the public service agencies. That's where you'll have trouble, because you're in a valley or you're surrounded by trees. You need to get the antenna very high for that. So
above the trees, for those purposes. But for shortwave, it's not an issue. If you want to talk to Texas or New York or London with shortwave, you've got no problems with shortwave. But these other frequencies, you will. And how about anything else, Lonnie?
What size wire are you talking about? Are you just talking about copper strand of copper wire?
Here's what you want to look at. You can use regular electrical wire. A stranded wire would be best, and you can go to any of the big box stores, Lowe's, Home Depot. Just buy some electrical wire, a single conductor, and you can get a type THHN. That's Thomas Henry Henry Nancy.
Okay.
Yeah. Get some THHN, and then you would want at least a 14 gauge. You could use 12 gauge, but that's stronger, because as you stretch that wire out, the longer it is, the more physical strength you're going to need, mechanical strength.
That's true.
The size of the wire for reception really wouldn't make any difference. For transmitting, you want it a little bit bigger if you're running high power. But even a very thin wire will work on transmit and receive. It's the mechanical strength that you'll lose if it's too thin, and the span is very long. The weight of the wire will actually destroy itself.
Well, talking Idaho, so we're looking at a snow and ice load also if it's suspended.
That's very true. So I'd say 12 or 14 gauge THHN will last you a long time, even with a 100-foot span. That's what I use.
Okay.
I use 14 gauge.
Okay,
that's
Lonnie.
That's what I'll do. Yeah? Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome,
you guys.
Thank you for the call.
You guys have a blessed day.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. The call number is 800-313-9443. Idaho is a beautiful state. I drive through there twice a year, sometimes four times a year. I have a sister-in-law that lives up there. I've spent some time up there. Very beautiful state. There's probably on any number. If Lonnie has that question, there's probably another couple of dozen people all around the planet with similar questions. Now, you can call in here to the show and get answers right on the spot, or you can join the local ham radio club, can't you, Tom?
Yes, you can, and we'll help anybody that calls in the best we can, John. If you have something you're doing on a local basis and you need some help and you need maybe some guidance and direction to get it going and get it off the ground, whether it be an antenna like what Lonnie's doing or setting up an entire system, joining a ham radio club be the best thing to do. Even if you don't have a ham radio license yet, just get involved with the club. They will help you and assist you to get going and get the study materials, learn the basics, and get your ham license, and then you're on the air, and then those folks will come on with you and help you learn the ropes and get your on the air style going, and you'll learn quickly, and you'll be off and running not have too much trouble at all. They'll help you.
All right. Hold that thought. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
You only live twice. homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Friday. It is Friday, the 25th day of January. I think it'll be February this time next week, won't it, Tom?
It will be. It sounds that way, John. Yes,
it will be. It will be in the second month of the year next week. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm still actively recruiting. I've got a couple already. Need two or three more marketing people to help market John Moore for speaking engagements. Details at my website at thelibertyman.com. Well, Tom, our mantra is emergency survival communications, and we talk about this for an hour every week. You've been part of this since you've been a boy. Actually, you weren't even a teenager yet when you got involved in this, were you?
Well, it was, John, I got my ham radio license when I was 13, but I did start studying for it and working towards it starting
before.
About 9 years old. About
there
nine
you go.
Years old, yeah.
Well, and that's important to 9 years old. Now, I say this a lot and I'll keep saying it. We being the ham radio community, we routinely have 8 and 9 year old boys and girls getting their ham radio license. It's not a big deal. It's not newsworthy because it's so common, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it's very common, and the rules and regulations have been relaxed in recent years because the equipment is so much more reliable. John, in the old days, we had to know just at the beginning level, when you're just getting into it, you had to have the skills required to tune these transmitters and make sure that they didn't interfere with other radio services that were operating in the same shortwave spectrum, such as commercial and maritime stations. So you had to have some skills, and all of that's pretty much gone out the window because the equipment is so much more plug and play nowadays and very simple to set up and get it on the air.
Right. Well, at the time, that it could have been literally a matter of life and death if somebody unknowledgeable inadvertently cut out the police or the paramedics or the fire department. That could be a matter of life and death if for an unknowledgeable person to be doing the wrong things, even though they may not be aware of it. Right, Tom?
Yes, and that did happen at times, and not on purpose, but there'd be malfunctions in a piece of equipment, and it would put out what's called spurious signals that would interfere with other radio services operating on adjacent frequencies. And that really was a very bad thing. And when it happened, you had to get down into that equipment and figure out what was wrong right away. So it took some extra skills to do that. But again, in recent years, the equipment is so much better, more modern, and very, very reliable. So any of the ham equipment made nowadays can be operated without major skill sets that would be needed, like the old days, and you still need some knowledge about how to connect up the antennas and tune up the antenna system and things like that. But it's still a lot easier than the old days, and it makes it so much better to get started quickly, and you don't have to study. It took me, John, well, from the time I got interested in about 9 years old, I didn't have anybody to help me, so I had to kind of wing it by myself. Books in the school library and the public library and so on. But I was finally able to pass the test and get my ham license in 1967. And we were still using tubes in those days. So all of my equipment was tube-based, and things were starting to change to solid state. So it was a good thing for me because I was then able to know, learn, and understand both types of technology, and it served me well over the years. But today, everything's, for the most part, solid state, except for some of the big high-power amplifiers. They still use tubes. But other than that, everything is pretty much plug and play, simple to do. Plug it in. The equipment has touch screens, a lot of it, just like your cell phones. And they have menus. A lot of it's menu-based. You push a button, and a menu comes up. You select the settings you want and close that menu and just keep operating the equipment that way. Very simple. And it's, other than that, you use the same frequency bands that we have for the history of ham radio, and there's been some new ones added over the past 30 years. There's been some new frequency bands on the shortwave spectrum, and it's really easy to do if you find a local ham radio club that'll help you get started.
Absolutely. Well, let's take this caller here. We got a caller on hold. We got a break coming up momentarily. We'll see if we can get started on this call. John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Thank you, John. Tom, I've got a question. I was about 13 when I got into Citizens Band, and you know, through the years, it was a 108-inch steel whip. I think it was 18-foot of coax, beacon tune your radio, and amplifiers were illegal, and all the rest of that. But I was able to talk to Maryland from Tennessee pretty easily. So I'm wondering, I'm interested in ham. I'm wondering how important the length of the coax or the length of the antenna and matching SWR and all the rest, how much power
hold that thought,
you run.
John, we got to take the break here. We'll get back to this after the break. Stay tuned, everybody.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. I have great news. I now have a new sponsor for my radio show, Gold Wealth Financial. There's a link on my website and a link on my links page, goldwealthfinancial.com. Great people. They know what they're doing. They've been at this a long time. They're down in Cave Creek, Arizona. And they have a free booklet you can get, The Rookie's Mistakes Guide. You can go to their website and click on that and get that free report. Okay, we're visiting with Tom Berryhill, and we're talking about emergency survival communications. And John in Tennessee, you got a question for Tom, sir.
Yeah, I've asked a bunch of them. Basically, I unloaded it, and I know I did. I don't know if you heard it. How much power can you run? How important are the length of the coax and the SWR and length of antenna and that kind of thing?
Okay, John, the length of the antenna is critical, especially on the HF bands where the length relative to the operating frequency is important. So So you, the lower you go in frequency, the longer the antenna is going to be. Now, you can make a very long antenna, and a lot of the work on HF bands is done with wire antennas. You can have these large Yagi beam antennas, rotatable and directional. I've actually never used those. I've always just used wire antennas and vertical antennas. But if you have a horizontal wire dipole or a long wire antenna, you can tune that with a device called an antenna tuner or an antenna coupler. And all that really does is adjust the impedance of that wire antenna, or whatever antenna you're using, to where it matches the output impedance of the transmitter itself. So that's very critical. And then you mentioned SWR, that's the standing wave ratio, or sometimes you'll see it called VSWR, and that's voltage standing wave ratio. And what you're looking at is the reflected power. As the transmitter delivers power to the antenna, if it's a perfectly matched antenna and the impedances are matched correctly, almost all of that power will be radiated by the antenna, and then some of it, though, is reflected back, and that's the ratio you're measuring. I take great care with that, because you don't want to damage solid-state final amplifier in the equipment you're using, which is easy to do if you don't get those antennas adjusted right. The modern equipment, though, does sense that too much power is being reflected back, and many of these transceivers and transmitters will actually reduce their power output so that they don't damage themselves by a high reflected power. The length of the transmission line, the coaxial cable, if you're using what's called ladder line, which is very similar to the old style TV cables, you know, right. the twin lead type of stuff. You can use that, and I
flat
do
wire.
Use that on one of my. Yes, I use that on one of my antenna systems, and I feel it's superior to coaxial cable. But if everything's adjusted right, you won't have any trouble at all. We can get really technical, John. I don't know how much.
Well, that's why you know, I don't. Apparently, you didn't hear the first part. Back when I was about 13, I got into Citizen band, and I just used 18-foot of coax, 108-inch whip. You can tune the radio, put an amplifier on it. You get the SWR down as close to zero as you can, and you can talk to half the country, you know, if you've got the right setup. I'm wondering how much power can you run legally with the ham radio? Would you ever use, like, maybe a coax wire and then put a whip on top, tie it to a metal pole, get it as high as you can? Would, you know, does all that make a difference? And
well,
how many
yes,
watts
you
can you run legally?
Well, okay. Tom, before you get into something really highly complex, you and I need to educate John just a little bit. It's different technology, John. You don't need, now with ham radio, you need at least 100 watts, and I know guys had 1,000-watt amplifiers. With a properly configured, properly engineered ham radio, you don't need massive amounts of power to talk a long distance. So it's an apples and oranges thing here, isn't it, Tom?
Well, it really is, and the ham operators are limited to 1,500 watts, 1.5 kilowatts peak power. So you can operate in excess of 1,000 watts. I have a very high power amplifier, and I never use it. Most of the time I use 100 watts or less, and then there's a lot of hams that use what they call QRP, which is very low power. And I've made contacts all over the world using 2 watts of power. I mean, it's just very, very little power, and had excellent signal reports from halfway across the planet. It can be done, and what's most important is your antenna and getting that antenna as high as you can off the ground. Sometimes you want to use a vertical antenna, and I think that's what you're referring to, John, is a 108-foot whip. That would be a quarter wavelength antenna for the Citizens band, which is 27 megahertz. So you and to calculate the length of the antenna, if you have a half-wave dipole, you would take the frequency. You take 468, 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz. That will give you the overall length of a half-wave dipole, which would present close to a 50-ohm load through that transmitter. If you take half of that number, 234, and divide that by the frequency of operation, that will give you a quarter wavelength antenna. Many vertical antennas that are ground-mounted will go at a quarter wavelength. Now, there's some exceptions to that, but most of the time they're a quarter wavelength, and they will have what's called a lower angle of radiation. And that's where you can really operate some long distances, because what's happening is that transmission, when you transmit, that's going out at a lower angle, so it goes farther out towards the horizon before it bounces off the ionosphere and then comes down back to Earth at a very great distance. Sometimes that signal will bounce a couple of times before it gets to its destination. But that vertical antenna is typically used for very long distance operation. Not in every case, but they tend to work very well for that. Whereas if you're operating on a regional basis or even on a national basis, you want to cover the whole country. We're located here in the Midwest, and to cover the whole country, I just use simple dipoles. I haven't used a vertical antenna in many years, although I'm thinking about putting up a very large antenna, a vertical antenna to use on the 160-meter band.
I know you're coming to a break, so let me tell you about a find, and you tell me how I did. A Uniden BCD996XT trunk scanner at a Goodwill for $5.99.
Any kind of a scanner that's in operating condition and allows you to listen in on your local public service agencies and the hams or ham repeaters and other types of radio traffic in your local area for $5 is a pretty good find. Yes, it is.
Well, this is digital GPS USB $5.99. So
well,
me interested in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, that is a great find and a you know, for $5, even if it had problems or didn't work right, you could pitch it or take it back to and give it back to him, you know, and for $5.
No, it works. It works fine.
You're going to learn a lot about it.
It
John,
works
for
fine.
$5. Put it on the radio
thank you.
Band.
Okay, thank you for the call, John. We appreciate it. We're getting the word out here, aren't we, Tom?
Well, yes, we are. And so John has found this scanner that will allow him to start listening in. He could listen to the, with that scanner, since it's operates in many modes, it may even operate on single sideband. He could listen to the long distance work that's done by some of the hams on single sideband on 2 meters and the 6 meter band. So that scanner would allow John to learn a lot about what's going on.
Absolutely
besides
no.
Just the FM repeaters.
With our demographics, we have probably several thousand men and women listening right now who back in the 1960s and 70s were active with CB radio. It was incredibly popular back in the 60s and 70s, tapering off into the 80s. And maybe it's time to dust off some of that equipment and learn some new things and buy some new equipment. We got another call. We actually have two callers on hold. First, we go to Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. I have a topic. This might be slightly off topic, but maybe not too much. I am probably aware of the news story that the South Pacific island nation of Tonga has been cut off from the internet because their transoceanic cable that goes over to Fiji has been cut. And they're speculating maybe it was from a large ship anchor or something like that. They're going to have to dispatch a ship from Samoa to try and repair that. But it is playing havoc with all sorts of things in Tonga. You know, everything, you know, an article lists all sorts of things that are affected, all sorts of business transactions and banks and universities all that sort of stuff. But, and I'm wondering, this begs the question about internet access through like cell phones or even landline telephones. Now the cell phones are, we all know, are connected to the internet. But the question is, does the cell phone company have to subcontract the internet access for its cell phone through the same. I suspect that they do. So the internet function. I suspect that the internet, while the phones themselves may be working, that the internet access to the cell phones may be out. I don't know for sure. And then when it comes to landline telephones, we know that like through cable companies like Verizon, Comcast, and that sort of thing, they provide telephone service, but it's voice over IP. Those lines are technically come off the routers, and that's voice over IP. And if it's voice over IP, that requires the internet, and so those landline phones could be cut off too. So this interconnectivity of everything, this, you know, just illustrates the vulnerability of all this stuff, where such that this island nation is cut off, and people are lining up in the heat to wait for 20 minutes of access on a satellite connection to do some sort of internet communications. So I thought this was, you might find this interesting from a communication standpoint. Certainly, I'm not sure exactly, how much it bears on ham radio, but I thought you might find it interesting.
Well, Glenn, you bring up a very good point. I wasn't aware that island nation was cut off, but listen, when you mentioned the voice over IP, or VoIP, that's what a lot of the landline phones are using now. And so many people even have their landline service coming through a cable company, so it comes over a coaxial cable off of the nearest telephone pole. In my situation, I still have a landline phone, but it's from the back of the house to across the road. It's about 300 feet of copper wire, and from there, it's a VoIP phone. It's voice over internet protocol, and it goes on a fiber optic cable back to their headquarters, and then I guess onto the backbone of the internet. I don't know, but if the internet went down, so would that telephone company, and everything needs to be all. Yes, it's very vulnerable. It does work pretty good most of the time, but sometimes it doesn't work at all. Sometimes I can't even get a dial tone. I'm actually thinking about just dumping it and getting rid of it. The only reason I'm really keeping it. Keeping it for the time being, Glenn, is because I get the internet connection by a DSL connection over that same landline phone, and the telephone company won't let me get an internet connection without having the phone. So it's just one of those things.
I had one of those triple play type things, and I just paid my cable company for I sort of cable cut partially. I hardly ever watch TV at home. I just use an off-air antenna, and I just pay for an internet connection and don't do the phone thing anymore. Don't have to do the triple play. But for many, I had worked for Bell Telephone, Bell PA, when I was very young, doing a certified installation and repair tech, and so for many years, I had paid for this irregular phone here where I live. I didn't want to go to just having only the cell phone. It only cost me like $23 or $26 a month to have twisted copper pair all the way back to the telephone company's central office, which has backup battery power if the power went out when the phone still worked and everything. But once they got it up over $40 a month and stuff, I eventually gave it up. As much as I'm a lover of twisted copper pairs that go all the way to the central office, But
I pay more than $40 a month for that, and it's getting kind of old because I don't use it that much, and it's just the way it is nowadays. These cell phones are taking over. And speaking of battery backup, that VoIP system that takes the local, in my actual area, it takes all the homes in that area, their copper wires, and ties it into that fiber optic. That thing has to have electrical power, and the battery backups for that only last several hours. So when the power goes out, it could be maybe 6 hours later, you don't have telephone service anymore. So you better get your calls in real quick if you think it's going to be an extended power outage. You might have a generator or battery backup for your home, but that phone cabinet across the road from me is not going to keep working.
I've seen the utilities come out and strap little portable generators to the poles for that. I could hear a little generator running out on the pole and see they've got it strapped.
Yeah, Glenn, you're absolutely correct. And let me tell you, I knew the guys at our local phone company pretty good, and they would bring these little generators out at these substations. This was before they went to the VoIP. They still had some T carrier stuff, and that where they would digitize some of it and multiplex multiple lines onto one twisted pair going all the way back to that central office in town, about 4 miles. And I'll tell you what, Hold that thought.
We need to wrap up your comments with Glenn. We got one more call before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite. Made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Tom, let's see if we can conclude Glenn's comments here and question so we can get to our last caller, please.
Okay, John. The only comment I wanted to make is what Glenn described is exactly what they would do in my area. The problem was we had an extended outage once, and people were coming by with bolt cutters, cutting the chain, and stealing the generators that kept the phone system going. So we still lost the phones because they couldn't keep the generators there.
Right. Well, they the ones out here, the little hand-carried ones that they could put up on the pole. But I can't imagine that's not a lot of fun to have to go out in a bucket truck and get those things up every few hours.
They didn't go that far, but they were about ready to give up. They couldn't keep the generators chained to the telephone poles. It was kind of humorous in a way. But, anyway, that was just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, one quick note about multiplexing. And you reminded me of the putting multiple lines on one pair. When I worked for them, they had the Splix 96, which is four T1s multiplexed on eight twisted pairs to produce 96 lines.
Slick 96, the Southwestern Bell used them. I used to make equipment for the Bell system and made some equipment that was interfaced with those Slick 96 setups. And, yeah, it was, you're right. That was a nice setup. It really was.
Yeah. I compared
okay.
to fiber optic, though, it's no big deal. All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can get this last caller in here. Lou in Illinois. Good morning, Lou.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Lou. You're on here.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, guys. I enjoy listening to your show every Friday mornings. Hey, tomorrow we got Winterfest coming up. It's the biggest ham fest in St. Louis, and I just wondered if either of you guys were going to that. Maybe I could meet up with you there.
Tom, you can't plan.
I've certainly heard of it. Is that at the convention center in Collinsville?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of it. I'd like to go.
I wasn't either. If I could get a caregiver to be here with my wife, I certainly might consider. But it's kind of late notice, so I can't make any promises.
And I've got all kinds of other. I mean, this past week has been very hectic for me. And I'd sure like to go though. Maybe I will. It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Yeah. Collinsville Convention Center.
I've been there many times for different events. It's a nice venue.
Yeah. I live 7 miles north of that. Tom,
Lou, before you get away, gasoline in St. Louis is $1.88 a gallon.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. $2.19 in Illinois.
Welcome to the People's Republic of Illinois. What are you still paying there? About $3, $2.50?
It's about $2.09 to $2.19, something like
that.
Generally a quarter or more higher in Illinois.
Well, socialism is expensive, you know. So.
Yes, it is.
Lou, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
I have to get a little dig into my Illinois friends anytime I can about living in the People's Republic of Illinois.
That's right, John. It's $1.84 where I am.
$1.84, and, well, Tom, thank you, sir. We'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Top of the hour break. We hope to be back with Dr. Lynn Wilbur. We'll see.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look and how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.